So tonight we're going to be talking about exhorting one another. And to exhort one another, what we're commanded by the Scripture to do in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25.
Wait, we're not ready.
I'll do the Jeopardy music. Oh, wait. I kind of looked up on the... Thank you. I looked up on the in the dictionary, and it says to exhort is to urge by strong, often stirring argument, admonition, advice, or appeal, encourage, cheerlead. But since there are no girls here, we're going to strike cheerlead right off that. None of that stuff here. To give hope or courage to. Oh, is Earl here? Or is he going to be here later? The joke Earl and I always have is we talk about, you know, he comes over to the house and helps me with little projects and stuff. And I say, you know, I'll say, how are we going to do this? And we talk back and forth. And then I say, I know, duct tape. And so when we exhort each other, we're kind of not putting duct tape over our mouths. Greg, don't be tempted to do that to me. But... you know, if you see a NASCAR race and something's dangling off the car and they're going 200 miles an hour, they put this 200 mile an hour tape. What do they call that in theater? It's gaffing tape?
Gaffing tape.
Yeah. So to exhort would be to care about each other's needs. When we have something kind of dangling and it's not going right, we get some duct tape and we help each other. Exhort. So I'm going to read Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Dave Rittner told me this little story. He took me out to lunch and what was the gentleman's name that spoke at our Saturday morning? Clay Jones. He told you this? Clay talked about two families deciding to skip church. It's a beautiful winter Sunday, and they decide that they're both independently of each other. They're going to go up to the ski hill. And so as they travel up to the ski hill, they listen to worship music. The husband and wife and kids and everybody are singing along. They turn on a radio sermon, they listen to that, and then when they arrive, they notice the other family from church is there, they wave at each other, and then they go skiing. And my question to us tonight is that our experience when we come to our church to fellowship? We're just going through the motions, or are we involved in such a way that we exhort each other, help each other? We're told to for older brothers in the Lord to exhort one another as a father encourages his child. We're told in 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. So the younger man isn't to let an older man despise his youth. And just, in fact, the other day I was at church and I was talking to this young guy. And, you know, he was much younger than me, really enthusiastic. You could tell he really loved the Lord. And I thought, you know, I better be careful that I don't act critical of Rich so that, you know, just because he's young that he doesn't, you know. He's been losing weight and, you know, he just looks young. I just compared to me anyway. And we all know, you know, younger brothers in the Lord, look, we all know that the old guys aren't hip-slick and cool. We know that. We know we're not hip-slick and cool. There's a video of Dan Looney dancing. I think that's proof. Okay. But as older men in the Lord, when we look at our younger brothers, or people who may be immature in the Lord, you know... I've raised three kids. Jan's raised a couple of kids, and we know a little bit about raising kids. And you know, when an infant is beginning to walk, you just know there are going to be bumps and scrapes and bruises, and they fall down and they struggle. And as a father, you don't look at the child and say, come on, you idiot, get up, and make fun of the kid because he's making mistakes. So those of us who are young in the Lord need to be encouraged by those of us who are mature in the Lord and not criticized for making mistakes. We make mistakes. I remember when my middle son, who's 28 now, was three, he was racing around the house and he fell against the corner and just gashed his head wide open, you know, blood everywhere, screaming and yelling. And so we take him to the emergency room and he just cried and cried. And the doctor, you know, is like injecting painkiller into the wound and giving him tetanus shots, and he's 3 years old and he pretty much didn't like that very much. But I kept holding him and loving him, not criticizing him, not to telling him to shut up, you baby, because he's a baby. He's a baby. You know, so as we interact with people in our fellowship, we need to keep in mind that even though somebody may look old like me, they could be really young in the Lord. And just because somebody looks young, they could be old in the Lord. We need to be mindful of encouraging, exhorting each other, to walk as we should. So we need to have an attitude of love. Next, we talk about in the world, you know, because there are two family, and each family you have two earners, you have the husband and wife that go to work. And the theory in the world is that quality time is what counts. You know, you're raising kids, you can't be with them very much, but quality time, that's the important thing. But I know from raising kids that's not the case. You know, you see people racing their kids to ballet practice, gymnastics, cheerleading practice, Little League, Pop Warner, on and on and on, soccer. But they're not spending a lot of time with their kids, and the kids are messed up. In the same way, we, as it says here in Hebrews, we're not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. Good parenting requires quality and quantity, not just quality, or what we try to pass off as quality. And it's the same thing. As we attend, as we go to the different things in our fellowship, we need to be sure that we're giving people time. We need to be sure that we encourage someone when they have a little bit of thing on their body or their car is kind of dangling and they need some help, duct tape. You need to encourage them. When long time ago, it was a song by Harry Chapin, The Cat's in the Cradle. You guys heard that song? Cat's in the Cradle, or Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, and The Man on the Moon. When you come in home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son, we'll get together then. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the bottom line is, guy's too busy trying to make a living saying, hey, that's how I'm taking care of my kid. We shouldn't certainly do that with our children, but we should certainly not do that in our fellowship. We need to be sure that we're putting time into each other so we can learn and grow from each other. As men, we've been entrusted with the spiritual well-being of everyone in our church. To exhort the weaker brother, the little children, the immature, the spiritually immature, to exhort our brothers and sisters, our peers in Christ, and to exhort with respect our spiritual fathers and mothers, mature believers, to stir up love and good works, exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. And just to throw this out there, not everybody that attends our church knows the Lord. You guys aware of that? Was at a Greg Laurie, I've said this before, Greg Laurie was speaking at the men's conference, Calvary Chapel Men's Conference at Anaheim Convention Center. A lot of men there. I don't know, 5,000, 7,000, something like that. He gives his talk, and then he does an altar call. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Everybody here is, you know, loving the Lord. They want to walk with the Lord. They're here to serve. It's a men's conference, and there wasn't room in front. So not everybody that's attending here and here tonight knows the Lord. So we need to be sure that as we walk, that we're encouraging each other. There are those of us who are searching, and they're seeking right now. They're seeking to come to know something about the Lord. And we need to be sure that we're exhorting them. I wanted to read a couple of the things that I've learned. I think I've been attending about a year and a half. And here's some examples of exhorting that I've found in our church. Kneel. Pray immediately when somebody in the body needs prayer. You ever been with Neil? And you say to him, you're in a restaurant, you're like, Neil, I've got this problem, you know, I really need, could you pray about this sometime? He's like, okay, brother, let's pray right now. And it's like, well, that makes sense. I think when I first had met you, you know, I was lamenting about when I was in the world, all the sin I participated in. And Neil, in a nice and loving way, just kind of said to me, Frank, how much of from the east is from the west, your sins will be remembered no more, do you not understand? Don't you think the Lord's forgiven you? He's like, well, I guess he has. Thank you, Neil. Think about Mike Hansberger talking to me last year at the Calvary, at our retreat in the other building, and him talking about the importance of being ethical in my business. How he struggled, as I have struggled, being ethical and walking as I should. I think about Mike and Cheryl seeking people out, people who have need, people who have help, and helping them when they have that need. Dave Rittner, I've learned that we need to love the brothers and sisters. David took me out when he saw me kind of spinning out of control a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago. I was getting up at 3:30 in the morning and trading stocks and, you know, working until late at night and kind of burning out. And he kind of saw that. And he said, I want to take you to lunch. And didn't really tell me what or why. And we sat there. And in a very kind and nice way, he said, you know, Frank, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned that you're working too much. I can see it's kind of affected your attitude. And I would really pray that you would reconsider how hard you're working. And that was a good exhortation for me because I listened to it. Think about Aaron pulling everybody's covers. With honest love. Speaking the truth in love. I remember him, we were sitting in front of Baskin-Robbins, and there were a bunch of guys, and there's a guy that, he's not here right now, but he was saying something goofy about somebody being an alcoholic, and Aaron had brought this guy that was like right off the street. And Aaron walked over to him and said, you need to shut up. I was like, he just hammered him right there, but it was done really, truly in love. Sam Lee, some of you may know Sam. Been through a difficult time, a divorce, and yet he was crying out for help when he's suffering, but he continued to share Christ. I see that example in his life, and I say, that's an exhortation to me. Ray, how to tell bad jokes and bring a smile to everybody. Robert, how to laugh at all bad jokes. Vivian, smile when you've heard the same old bad joke more than once. Aaron's friend Dave, you know, he comes all the time. He couldn't make it this weekend, but he just comes all the time to all the meetings. He's someone who's attending all the time and wanting to learn. Caleb, how to walk sincerely in Christ. You've got a really sincere brother there. Debbie Cathers, service may mean changing poopy diapers. I'm standing up there after first service, and I see her running across with a load and putting it in the trash can. I was thinking, you know, I should be willing to do anything that's necessary to help the brothers and sisters here. There shouldn't be, you know. And I was kind of thinking to myself, well, she shouldn't have to do that, but, you know, that's her exhortation to me and to you. Doug and Donna, greet everyone as they come to worship. Make them feel welcomed. We were talking about that at a get-together one time. What was the first thing you remember about coming to Calvary Chapel Fullerton? And everybody there said, I remember Doug and Donna coming over to me and shaking my hand. I was thinking, you know, and there was more than one of us that said that. Dan Looney. He works a lot. It's a lot, night and day serving the Lord. Joy, Looney. Loving the little children as Christ loved little children. Dave Dunnigan, how to worship the Lord. Cheryl Hansberger, working night and day quietly, helping many without wanting any recognition. We go over there for a men's group. You see if she's working with candles, she's got gloves on, she's making this, she's making that, helping the young gals that are getting married, encouraging them. Rich, serving the Lord with gladness. Jan's comment about when the first day we attended was, man, that guy playing keyboard, you can tell he really loves the Lord. Victor, smile at everyone and mean it. Dave, Daniel, Timothy, serve the Lord quietly and humbly. And they do. Mike and Hannah, the joy of the Lord is just always beaming from their faces. And when we were doing the outreach and you see them walking through the crowd and you see people bowing and wanting to, this is at Cal State Fullerton when you were serving the cappuccinos. Greg Bird, to have a passion to share Christ with the world, wanting to reach out. Debbie Cathers again, a soft answer turning away wrath. Tony, a good woman can change a man. Frank, the other Frank, not tall Frank, the normal Frank. Quietly sharing your Bible knowledge without pride. George and Melanie, serving the children as Christ would. If you ever talk to George Shady, he listens to others with sincerity. He looks you right in the eye, listens to what you have to say, and doesn't interrupt you and want to tell you about himself. He listens to what's going on. Dave Dunnigan, take no offense from stupid bass players and forgive stupid bass players. He asked me if I'd ever heard a song, and I barked at him one day in practice.
Dan, are you a stupid bass player?
Yeah, Dan, that was... talking about this stupid bass player. And I went up afterwards and I told Dave, I said, I'm sorry I acted that way. And he's, I didn't even notice it. Don't even worry about it, Frank. And that's the way Neil barked at Neil one time. Neil went out of his way to call me and to say, you know, come on, brother, let's come together on this thing. Hebrews 3:12-13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'll read that again. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be sure that you can't come every single day to church. I understand that. We have lives we have to live. We have responsibilities and so on. But we need to reach out, calling our brothers, encouraging our brothers, exhorting our brothers. Thanks.